One afternoon, 13-year-old Alison Carter walked out of her home and simply disappeared.
Has Alison ever stayed out this long before?
Never.
Are you the father?
Yes, stepfather.
I'm pulling out of the film.
What do you mean?
Mistakes were made.
You know that warehouse fire that destroyed the evidence? Did we check it out? See if there was any suspicion?
You found something you don't like, haven't you?
Is that a threat?
I just want you to answer my question.
Time to tell Mum her baby's not coming home.
It's 1963. A black police Wolseley pulls up in front of Scardale Manor. Juliet Stevenson, Lee Ingleby, and Greg Wise. Place of execution. George and Tommy get out of the police car as Ruth stands in the open doorway of the house. George walks slowly over to her. Screenplay by Patrick Harbinson, adapted from the novel by Val McDermid. In the present, Catherine is watching interview footage of George.
What did you exactly discover in that mine?
We discovered some items of clothing, clearly belonging to her. And there was a lot of blood in the area where we found the clothing.
But no body?
But no body.
Please leave a message after the tone.
George, it's Catherine. I'm coming to see you.
Devastated.
Call me, please. Thanks.
And from then on, because of what we discovered there, we knew that Alison was dead.
1963. George looks at a photograph of Alison while Ruth sobs nearby. Hawkins stands awkwardly. Daytime. Bespectacled George walks down a path beside the manor house, then stops and looks back at the building. He frowns and looks down. Moving on, he looks over at a separate stone-built house. Tommy Clough walks up to him.
Happy Easter, sir.
Oh, happy Easter.
Thought I might find you up here.
You know, whoever took Alison must have known her well. Known her habits, known her movements. Known the area.
Tommy hands him a cigarette.
Do you know who lives there?
Oh, no one. It's owned by the estate. Just rented out for holiday lets.
George lights his cigarette.
I think we should get a list of everybody that stayed there in the last year.
Catherine and Sasha.
I spent half my childhood doing this. Driving around England with your gran. Every summer after my dad died, we'd get in the car and just drive. Then when we found somewhere, she'd lock herself in her room, start tapping away, and I'd be free to do whatever.
A flashback of her as a girl as her mother types.
Sasha.
Mum!
Listen, I'll be there soon. We're going to be meeting George Bennett, so don't forget to thank him, OK?
What for?
For getting you out of the police station.
Well, otherwise I'll ruin your film.
No, otherwise you'll prove yourself to be a spoiled and ungrateful brat.
What does that make you? A crap mother?
1963. George and Tommy walk through the village.
And what brings you out here on Easter Sunday then, Tommy?
The lads have found two bullet slugs down the mine. Ballistics say they've come from a Webley service revolver.
But we've got to find that gun.
Yeah. Might already know where it's come from. 2 months ago, there was a robbery announced down in Barrowdale. It's about 20 minutes that way. And there was cash and jewellery stolen, and a Webley revolver belonging to the owner, Colonel Carey.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's the Webley, though, does
no,
it?
No, I know. But Carey's been a friend of the Orkin family for years. Squire's often a guest up there.
George smiles.
Hawking breaks into his friend's place and nicks all the jewellery.
No, there was no breaking. Everything was in one drawer in the library. Look, isn't it about time we acknowledge the bloody elephant, sir? The one living over there. He was in the field the day Alison disappeared. He's connected to the murder weapon. His own wife's bloody petrified of him and... well, he's a supercilious shite.
Still a long way from being a murderer, though, Tommy.
George's sister Margaret answers the door to Catherine.
Hello, Margaret. Can I have a word with George?
George isn't available.
But isn't that his car?
Margaret smiles.
Margaret, why has your brother dropped out of the film?
Because it isn't going to do anyone any good, raking up all that misery.
He was okay with it before. So, Why has he changed his mind?
I don't know.
Well, look, I'm staying at Morton Lodge. Could you ask him to call me? I've got something he needs to see.
She returns to the car where Sasha is filming her.
Oh, come on, Sash. Don't muck around with that thing. Come on, give it here.
She puts the camera away.
Didn't he want to talk to you?
We'll meet later.
Great, I'll practice my thank you speech.
Oh, come on, Sasha, don't be a...
Catherine bites her lip.
What is the problem with George?
It's complicated.
Over my head, you mean?
Catherine looks over at her sharply.
Well, George wants to pull out of the film. And I want to persuade him not to. But I also, you know, want to find out why he's suddenly doing this.
Well, maybe he just doesn't want to be on TV. Well, I wouldn't. I could never do what you do. Just have a camera following you around. Be filmed all the time.
Catherine half smiles and shrugs. A thought occurs to her.
Oh, well. You get used to it.
She stares sadly into the distance. 1963. George sits at his desk in the police station looking through photographs of Alison Carter. He comes across a photo of Hawken reflected in a car window, then looks up thoughtfully at another on the wall. A third shows him reflected in a car headlamp. Later, he and Tommy are with Culver, who's on crutches.
I want to know why you're fanning around. You've had a dozen lads down that mine for days, and now to show for it, with a broken arm.
Sir, we know what the murder weapon is.
What murder? You haven't even got a body. You've used up all my overtime budget, and we're still in bloody April. So either piss or get off the pot. Sergeant,
I'm pulling in Philip Hawken.
On what grounds?
He's a suspect in a burglary.
Culver nods.
Must be bloody mad, Sergeant. My office.
A cool-looking Hawken is arrested and put in a police car. Ruth and other villagers watch as he's driven away.
Have you ever owned a Webley revolver, Mr. Hawken?
No.
George and Tommy interview Hawken.
Have you ever visited the home of Colonel Carey?
He's a family friend. What's this all about?
Were you in his house 2 months ago?
I might have been. God knows there aren't many people around here with whom one can have a decent conversation.
What? Don't you ever talk to your wife?
There's a difference between talk and conversation.
Did Colonel Carey ever show you where he kept the revolver?
I didn't even know he had one.
So if we tested the desk where he kept the gun, we wouldn't find your fingerprints?
I may have touched his desk. What would my fingerprints prove?
By themselves, nothing.
What does that mean?
It means I don't believe you, Mr. Hawken. One day you're gonna slip up. When you do, I'm gonna be there. I'm not gonna give up. Not until I get the man that killed her.
Hawken looks rattled.
My daughter is missing. She might even have been murdered. And you are accusing me without a shred of evidence.
Hawken lights a cigarette. The tip of the cigarette glows red as he takes a drag and glares at George.
Are you out of your mind, Inspector? Or just out of your depth?
George meets Hawkins' frosty gaze.
Sir.
In a corridor.
Sir.
What?
Can you hang on for just a minute?
George looks at Tommy.
He's right, isn't he? We've got nothing on him.
George hangs his head.
I blew it.
There's nothing we could have done, sure, to beat the bloody truth out of him.
No, but I let him get to me. He would have let something slip, he would have, I know him. I do not wait. Right then. Let him go.
Don't you want me to get him a lawyer?
But what's the point? I'll talk over.
What, so that's it then? Case closed?
What's he going to do, Tommy? Go on, you tell me that still needs looking.
Sir, I've got Ruth Hawking on the phone.
Get your voice down, you lummox.
Sorry. She's hysterical. She says you have to come out to Scardale right now while her husband's not there.
Ruth, move. He does not leave, OK? No matter who or what he threatens, he does not leave, OK?
Sir. At the manor.
I came in to turn the heating down, and when I took the cover off, I saw something behind. It's one of his shirts with blood on it. I left it. I couldn't touch it.
George takes the cover off the radiator to get at the shirt. They pull the cover's frame away from the radiator, and George fishes the blood-stained shirt out from behind it. Something is wrapped within it. They uncover the item. A Webley service revolver.
We're going to need a warrant.
Right. I want all cameras, everyone. Everything from these
doors. It's projected over here. See if you can find any reels that go with that.
Tommy? Yes, sir. Can I leave you with this?
You have to, sir.
I'm going to look at his dark room.
Tommy and other officers continue searching the room where the gun was found. George makes his way along a corridor to the dark room. He stops in the doorway of the dark room and peers into the gloom, then switches on the red light. He looks around and then spots a torch on a worktop. He picks it up and switches it on. He shines the torch on a photo of Alison Carter. He steps further into the room and looks at other pictures of Alison. In the study, Tommy talks to one of his uniformed officers.
Dawson, on every camera, every roll of film taken out that cupboard, logged down, put in this box and shipped down to the station, all right?
George shines the torch around the dark room. He finds a wooden panel under the worktop and taps it. Realising it's hollow, he crouches down and tries to pull it open. An officer finds a document in a drawer.
Sir!
Here we go.
Let's have a look.
Tommy examines the document.
Scardale lead mines.
George pulls the panel away and finds a safe behind it. As he examines it, Tommy comes in.
Sir, just found a map of the mines in up.
Tommy regards his crouching boss curiously.
Tommy?
Found a map of the mines in Hawking's study, sir.
I found his safe.
It's locked.
Could you go upstairs and ask Ruth if she knows where the key might be?
Yeah.
Tommy goes and George continues to shine his torch around the room. The torch beam picks out something that has been taped to the underside of a shelf on the other side of the room. George goes over to investigate and finds it's a key. George's filmed interview in the present day.
So Tommy went off to look for the key and you waited?
Yeah, I waited. I wanted to get the safe opened. I dreaded it being opened.
Catherine and Sasha watch.
Pandora's box. You never know what's going to come out.
Back in 1963, George stands in the dark room, twirling the key around in his hand. He glances up the corridor, then looks pensively at the safe. He rubs his brow, then crouches down and puts the key in the safe. Just as he unlocks it, Tommy returns.
There's no luck with the key, sir. Ruth said that you never have access to this.
I found the key. It's taped under the shelf there with this. Which looks like the same stuff they use for muzzling the dog.
Tommy looks at the tape. George stares thoughtfully at the safe, then looks up at Tommy.
Shall we?
Tommy watches apprehensively as George opens the safe. Inside is a large manila envelope. George takes it out. That's all there is.
That's it.
George takes some black and white photographs of Alison Carter from the envelope. He leafs through them.
I think we'd better take notes.
Tommy gets his notebook and pen out.
Right. Inside the safe, we found an envelope containing black and white images. First photograph is of Alison Carter sat on a bed in her school uniform.
He puts it on the worktop.
Second photograph, Alison Carter again sat on the bed. This time there is a man. The man is Philip Hawking. Photograph number three.
Hang on, sir. He's in that picture who's taking the photograph.
Camera's on a tripod. Automatic shutter. Third photograph. Philip Hawking undressing Alison Carter.
He puts the photo down on the worktop.
Fourth photograph. Philip Hawking now undressed.
He puts the photo down and looks at the next.
Fifth photograph. Alison.
Tommy stares gravely at George, then at the photo as he puts it down.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Tommy turns away and wipes his mouth with his hand.
You want to know why I never married Catherine? Never had kids? Because of what I saw in that room. Because I never knew there was that amount of cruelty in the world. And no child of mine was ever going to run the risk of meeting it.
Catherine and Sasha watch the interview footage of George on a monitor. Sasha seems affected by it.
Right, that really is it. Come on.
Those photos of Alison are porn, aren't they?
Oh, God, I knew that I shouldn't have seen this stuff.
Well, why not? I mean, thousands of kids are going to see it. Millions. That's what you wanted, isn't it?
No. Catherine Heathcote.
Catherine?
George. Oh, George. Thanks for ringing.
There's a cafe in Queen Street off the square. Meet me in 15 minutes.
The day you discovered this.
Yep, okay, all right. The first time you had entered that door. I'll be there.
Yes, of course.
Right.
Why had you not been in there before?
Right, I've got to go out.
Are you going to see George? I'd like to come too. I'd really like to thank him.
Another time.
But, Mum,
for God's sake, Sasha, I've got to work.
But, Mum, you...
Get yourself ready for bed. I'll be back. Really?
But now we have the evidence we need. The case has moved on considerably.
1963.
I'm Alfred Naden, representing Mr. Hawking. You must be Inspector.
Following your client's arrest this morning, Mr. Naden, I obtained a search warrant from Morton Magistrate. I executed that warrant this afternoon. And during the search, we discovered a safe hidden in Mr. Hawking's dark room. And when that safe was opened, we found 8 photographs, which, when examined, were found to contain pornographic images of Alison Carter. And as a result of the evidence, I am charging you, Mr. Hawking, with rape.
Hawking struggles to maintain his appearance of unruffled composure.
They're fakes.
I want to see this evidence.
Are you sure you want your solicitor to see it, Mr. Hawking? At the risk of him walking out on you?
I want him to see them.
George hands the photos over to Naden. Naden, a balding man of about 50, wears wire-rimmed round glasses and a bow tie. He looks through the pictures, and his expression becomes increasingly grim.
I tell you, they're fakes. Everyone knows you can fake a photograph.
We have the negatives, too.
Well, you can fake those as well. First you fake the photograph, then you photograph the fake, and bingo, you have a negative. Give me a ciggy.
Looking shaken, Naden ignores the request.
One of your cigarettes?
Naden composes himself and gets one. Tommy shows Hawking a picture.
You're denying that this is you in these photographs, Mr. Hawking?
Of course I am.
Are you denying you raped her?
Yes.
We also found a bloodstained shirt in your study.
Hawking regards George with controlled alarm.
What?
Identical to the shirts that you have made in London. It was stained with blood, which I expect will match that found on Alison's underwear.
There was no shirt in my study.
Oh, but that's where it was found. Where's the gun?
What gun?
Webley 38.
identical to the one stolen from your friend, Colonel Carey.
I already told you I didn't know he had a gun. You're trying to frame me.
Why would we want to do that?
Because you've got nothing and your necks are on the line and you're making up all this rubbish.
You're making up, you're blaming that little girl, you piece of shit.
Cruel fate, I tell you!
Tommy restrains Hawking, then sits back down. Looking extremely rattled, Hawking settles back in his chair. George eyes him sternly.
I'm going to present this information to the Director of Public Prosecutions, Mr. Hawking. And then I'm going to charge you with murder.
Shocked, Hawking looks over at George. In the present day, George stands staring at the cafe. He can see Catherine sitting at a table inside, sipping a mug of tea. Steeling himself, George walks over to the cafe and goes inside. Seeing him, Catherine puts her notes away and jumps to her feet.
George, thanks for meeting with me. Well...
They sit down at the table.
Do you want something?
No, nothing.
Well, did you get to Scardale? Have you managed to get us into the manor house?
No. The owners are still not interested with any film.
Like you, apparently.
Yes, like me.
Can you tell me why?
George looks down somberly.
You said you had something I need to see.
You worked in Vice in Manchester before you were posted to Morton, right? Yeah. When you were there, did you have any access to child pornography?
Why you ask it?
When I was doing background research on you for the film, I came across some student magazines that you'd contributed to. And I found an article that you'd written that you never told me about. Interesting piece. On photomontage and the manipulation of evidence.
Two photos of the Yalta summit, one of which the image has been manipulated.
Didn't realise you were such an accomplished photographer, George.
George stares at Catherine, then gets to his feet and marches out of the cafe.
George, you have to talk to me! George!
He turns around and marches back to her.
You have no idea.
But you've got to tell me what happened!
As a flashback of Laura.
You found something you don't like, haven't you? Maybe you shouldn't go digging.
Pandora's box. You never know what's going to come out.
But you've got to tell me what happened! Sasha? Sash! Sash! Sasha!
She's unconscious.
Oh, Christ. Sasha! Sasha! Wake up! Wake up! How much have you drunk?
No, no, he's sick.
God, not here. Come on, come at me. Not here. Come on. Hurry. Come to me. Wait a minute. Okay.
She gets Sasha to the loo. Catherine strokes Sasha's back as she bends over the lavatory pan. Later, Catherine sits on the bathroom floor with Sasha resting her head in her lap. Catherine pulls a blanket over Sasha as she sleeps and gently strokes her hair. She looks over at her reflection in a bathroom mirror. 1963. George watches an 8mm home movie of Alison Carter. In the film, it's snowing, and she wears a heavy duffel coat as she walks up a path. George smokes a cigarette and looks up at Tommy, who also watches the film.
Why aren't you going home?
George takes a thoughtful drag on his cigarette and looks back at the screen. Alison shakes her hair out of her face.
He destroyed her long before he killed her.
On the screen, Alison looks up at the camera as she walks past it. In the present, Catherine walks up outside Scardale Manor. She stares across the gravel drive at the imposing building, which is made of grey stone. A flashback of a laughing girl running up the drive to the manor. Catherine looks back up the drive and sees it's deserted. Sasha is asleep in the passenger seat of Catherine's car. She gradually wakes up and looks around. Catherine walks over to the detached holiday let house that George looked at years ago. A flashback of young Catherine looking in on her mother, who's busy typing.
Not now, I have to work.
Disappointed, Catherine goes, closing the door behind her. In the present, Catherine stands staring at the detached house. Sasha walks over to her.
Oh,
hello. Sasha smiles faintly.
I stayed here when I was little, once. One of those summer trips with Gran.
Looking at the manor.
Is this where it happened?
Yeah, that's the back of the manor house. She walked out of there and was never seen again.
Catherine checks her phone. In his city office, Keith stands staring out of the window at a passing train. He's ringing Catherine on speakerphone.
Hi, Keith.
Catherine.
Have you spoken to George?
Not yet.
Why not?
Well, I'm going to interview him later today. I've got my camera with me, so I'll shoot it myself.
Keith frowns.
What?
You still having doubts?
Who told you I did?
I know you, Catherine.
We've worked together a long time. Is there something you're not telling me?
No! Listen, George is fine, really. It's just a case of nerves. I'll keep you posted. Don't worry.
She hangs up. In his office, Keith also hangs up and turns to Nicola.
Whose nerves exactly? Catherine Heathcote's or George Bennett's?
Nicola stares at him for a moment, then turns away and smiles.
George Bennett's?
Why?
Stuff started to come up.
What stuff? Nicola, I'm not going to play 20 questions with you.
There are issues with the evidence that George used to convict Hawking.
The abuse photos?
Yes.
Get it checked, get it analysed.
We can't. It was destroyed in a warehouse fire 6 months ago.
Was that before Catherine started speaking to him about the film?
About the same time.
George Bennett. Well, well.
1963. George sits at his desk and uses a magnifying glass to study one of the photos of Alison with Hawking. He looks at a second photograph, then examines a negative. George puts a document headed Remand Application into his typewriter and stares at a heading. Defendant name, Hawking, Philip. Reasons to oppose bail. A smouldering cigarette in his hand, George stares at the page. Then something occurs to him, and he begins to type. Hearing Culver approach, he stops.
I've got another version of that. Still burning the midnight oil, Bennett. You've met Chief Superintendent Martin?
I have. Good evening, sir.
Bennett. Can you make this murder charge fly?
Well, the weight of evidence is compelling, sir. We found the murder weapon wrapped in Philip Hawking's blood-stained shirt in his study, and there was also powder burns on that shirt. We also found a map of the Scardale mines.
All of which adds up to our body.
We also have the two bullets fired from the gun in the mine, where we also found Alison Carter's torn, blood-stained, semen-stained clothes, sir.
But not Alison.
The pathologist estimates that more than 3 pints of blood was spilt at the scene. 3 pints, sir. Do you believe he didn't do it, sir?
All the evidence is circumstantial.
Come on, sir. How often do you actually get a corroborated witness account of a murder?
Not often, I admit, but Hawking is an important man, well thought of in the community.
George gets the photos.
Not when they see these.
The chief super leafs through the photos with a look of distaste.
Do There's your motive for murder there, sir. The girl's getting older. She's no longer in awe of him. She threatens to tell. She has to die. And as for proving murder without a body, there is precedent, sir. John George Haig, the acid bath murderer, convicted without a body.
Forensic traces pointed to his victim.
1955, a Polish ex-soldier is murdered by his partner, no body. Prosecution claims that his partner fed his body to the pigs. And again, a conviction. Sir Philip Hawking is a child rapist and a murderer, and he cannot get away with this.
The chief super nods.
Very well. Thank you.
Culver gets to his feet.
Drake.
Still on crutches, Culver leads the chief super out.
Get some sleep, Bennett.
George sits back down at his desk and stares at what he's typed. All he's written is Alison Carter, Alison Carter, Alison Carter repeatedly. He pulls the document out of the typewriter and screws it up. In the present, Catherine drives along in her car with Sasha.
Why are we going back to see George?
Because I'm not finished.
So how did you meet him?
I met him in Bosnia. He was on the War Crimes Commission there. I thought he was an exceptional man.
You liked him because you thought he'd make a good film?
No. Not that.
Catherine shoots a look at Sasha.
Because he was like my father.
Sasha looks over at her.
Well, I mean, he was like I'd always imagined that my father would be like, if he'd lived. Here we go.
They round a corner and see George on a gurney being loaded onto an ambulance by paramedics. Later, Catherine and Sasha are in hospital.
Doctor, can you help me and try to get out of this ward? I need to find out about George Bennett.
I'm sorry. I can only give information to his family.
I'm a close personal friend.
But not family.
Look, I'm a television reporter. I've been working on this film with George. It's crucial that I find out how he is.
Because you are a friend or because you are a reporter?
Oh, both.
Sorry. Hospital policy is very clear.
Oh, please, just tell me if he's going to make it. Jesus Christ.
Mum, what are you doing? You can't go in there.
I'm going in. You stay here.
Why are you going to get in trouble?
Well, if I do, you'll have to come and rescue me. It's okay, Sash. I've been in worse places than this.
Catherine sneaks onto the secure ward where George is being treated. A nurse approaches her.
Can I help?
I want to see George Bennett.
Are you a relative?
Yes, I'm his niece.
Catherine makes her way into George's room. He lies in bed, apparently unconscious, hooked up to a heart rate monitor. Catherine walks over to the bedside and takes a seat. She takes George's hand and kisses it. As she speaks, George's eyelids twitch. 1963. George looks over at an officer who's taking photographs of Alison down off an incident board.
Swindles.
Sir?
I'll do that.
Righto, sir.
Swindles leaves the board and George walks over to it. He stares at the pictures of Alison Carter and his emotions start to get the better of him. He stifles a sob and wipes his eye. Steeling himself, he takes down a picture of Hawking and stares at it. Tommy wanders over to George and taps a cigarette before putting it in his mouth. They stand staring at the incident board.
What if she's not the only one?
What, you mean other kids?
Tommy lights his cigarette.
See, he's 41. And in my experience, sex offenders don't just start, they
develop, try stuff out. In your experience, I did a year with Vice in Manchester. Sexual offences. What, against kids? Yeah, sometimes. Unfortunately.
He looks at a picture of Alison with school friends, then takes down another picture of Hawking.
See, the trouble is we've looked at Hawking. He's lived his whole life in Scardale. Apart from this, he's clean.
George puts the pictures in his hand into a file, picks it up and walks off. Margaret Bennett sits at George's bedside as he lies unconscious in hospital. Back in their hotel room, Sasha talks with Catherine.
So, what are you going to do now? You're not going to give up, are you?
I don't know, Sasha.
Sasha packs a bag.
What's this? Just some stuff I did when I was a kid. Gran gave it to me.
Child's drawings.
Is that me?
A camera-headed figure at a window.
Is that how you saw me?
I guess.
I was just a camera.
Well, you always have one.
Well, just trying to make sure that I remembered, you know?
Sasha turns away with a pained expression.
You're right. I'm a crap mother.
Sasha looks up from her packing and stares into the distance.
Guess we'd better get back then. Face the music.
Catherine picks up an old black and white photo of George and Tommy and stares at it. Something occurs to her. She picks up her mobile phone and dials a number. Nicola answers her phone.
Nicola, hi, it's me. Do we still have an address for Tommy Clough?
Yes. Why do you want it?
Can you get it for me?
Well, Tommy didn't want anything to do with the film.
Just give me the address, Nicola.
Bear with me.
Nicola brings the address up on her computer.
48 Willingham Lane, Bartleby. On the coast near Berwick. You're not going all the way up there, are you?
This is to do with George, isn't it? You've discovered...
something.
Like what, Nicola?
Like...
maybe he's not as squeaky clean as he's cracked up to be.
Catherine.
Gotta go.
No, wait.
Catherine, Keith is...
What?
I can't protect you.
Catherine.
Then don't. Bye, Nicola.
She hangs up and smiles. Nicola looks pensive.
Right. Change of plan. We're going to the seaside.
Sasha grins.
Aaron, how fresh the fit?
Okay.
Shit.
Catherine.
Keith.
Glad I caught you. And Sasha too. I heard about George. Hospitalised.
They're in the hotel lobby.
Obviously, I'm really sorry. I know you're fond of him. But we have to be practical. What does it mean for us?
Well, do you want to know the truth?
What else have you been telling me?
I think that we should stop the film.
I can't do that, I'm afraid.
Why not, Keith?
And cancelling a high-profile network programme at this late stage would be a story in itself, and isn't that what you're trying to avoid?
What do you mean?
I mean the other story, the one that you don't want to tell. Am I right? Retelling a famous murder story is good television. Exposing a detective who bent the truth to get a conviction is great television.
There is absolutely no evidence that George Bennett did anything wrong.
Then why are you running around England like a scalded cat? I mean, does George have some sort of hold on you?
What?
Is he your daddy or something?
No, of course not. But that doesn't mean the man should be crucified without a fair hearing.
Fair hearing or cover up?
I'm not covering anything up, Keith. I just don't have the full story yet. I just need more time.
You can have 24 hours.
She nods. Keith grabs his coat and heads off.
And only I work on this. Not loyal Nicola or anybody else.
Nicola listens to George's interview in the office.
I'm just waiting. Seemed like an age. I wanted to get that safe open. Dreaded it being up Pandora's box. You never know what's going to come out.
1963. George walks down a corridor in a prison and is shown into an interview room by a prison officer. Waiting for him is Hawkin, who wears prison uniform and sits at a table. George walks around the table so that he's facing Hawkin.
I want to talk.
To apologise, you mean? Did you bring cigarettes?
George reaches in his pocket and takes out a packet of cigarettes. He hands them to Hawkin, who puts them in his pocket without even looking at them. George sits down and looks over at Hawkin.
This is your last chance to tell me where her body is.
I don't know where she is.
Tomorrow you go on trial and you'll be convicted and you'll hang.
No, judge will hang me, not with the evidence you have.
The judge is Fletcher Sampson, and believe me, when he sees those photographs, you will hang.
The photographs are fakes. That's what the jury will be told. That's what they will believe.
Please, Philip. Please.
Hawkin looks away, disinterested.
Put a mother's mind at ease, and you do that, and you could be out in 10 years. Have a life.
Hawkin stares into the distance, remote and unresponsive. George shakes his head and looks down sadly.
She was such a beautiful girl.
Hawkin looks round.
Yeah. Beautiful. Does she keep you awake at night? Little Alison. All those photos of mine you have to help find her, where are they? Do you have them on your wall?
A flashback of George looking at them.
They're evidence.
Evidence of what?
They stare at each other and Hawkin leans forward.
What do you see when you look at her, George?
George stares back at Hawkin, who gets to his feet and knocks on the door.
Please tell me where she is.
Hawkin looks back.
I didn't kill her.
He gives George a cool stare and goes. Deflated, George hangs his head. Catherine's Peugeot car drives along a coastal road heading towards a village. She and Sasha get out of the car and walk up to a house. Catherine rings the bell. An elderly-looking Tommy comes to the door and regards them dubiously.
Tommy Clough?
Yes?
I'm Catherine Heathcote. I'd like to talk to you about
George.
No,
I know who you are.
Oh, good. Well, I'd like to talk to you about George Bennett. I'd like to talk to you about George Bennett. 3 days ago, he withdrew from the film that I'm making about him, and he won't tell me why. And then yesterday, he had a massive heart attack. And I think the reason might be something to do with the fact... Oh, good. Could we start again? My name is Catherine.
We're not starting anything. I just want to say that if my friend George dies, I hope his death halts you to your grave, you fucking vulture.
Don't you dare talk to my mum like that. She's trying to help him. She's doing everything she can. She even risked her job for him. Why can't you see that?
Tommy glowers at Sasha, then shuts the door again and disappears inside. Despondent, Catherine and Sasha turn back to their car. Just as they're about to get in, Tommy reappears wearing a coat. He puts a flat cap on and glances over at Catherine.
Come on in.
Catherine stares after Tommy, then flashes a delighted smile at Sasha. The women hurry after Tommy. 1963. Prison officers open a cell door. Hawkin, dressed in a smart suit, steps out of the cell, adjusting his cuffs. The prison officers escort him up some stairs to a courtroom where a jury is already waiting. Ruth is also waiting nervously in the court. The officers lead Hawkin into the dock, and he stares fixedly at the judge. ITFC audio description by John Walskill. Next time...
For Christ's sake, Catherine, go!
But isn't there an alternative explanation for every piece of evidence? Were you obsessed with Alison Carter?
So you believe that Hawkin was guilty?
Oh, I sin.
I didn't kill her.
What have you done, Cathy? All of you, out!
Are you agreed upon your verdict?
We are.